All right, so now we're gonna talk about multiple streams of income, right?
Yeah, man, that is, I mean, I get that question. I'm sure you get it a bunch. I get that, especially in the education field. Teachers every day, it's like, yo, I need to make more money. How am I gonna do this? What do I do? How are you doing it? I'm like, we got something for you. Relax, we got you.
Nah, multiple streams of income is no longer option.
It's a must.
It's a necessity. It's
an absolute must. Yeah.
In this world that we live in, so we're going. If you're a member of EYL University, shout out to all of our EYL
all the earners out there,
students that's enrolled. EYL University is the dopest platform right now online. It's crazy. We did a whole course. We did an hour course on multiple streams of income. That's actually out right now. So what we're going to do is try to condense this to like 15 minutes. But if you want the like full hour version, right. You can just check out earnyourleisure.com. We also have a course on there about how to create a podcast. Great.
With details, product placement, all that.
Yeah, it's dope. It's dope. So yeah, this will be like the abbreviated version. And if you want the full version, you can just check out EYL University for sure. But so right. When it comes down to like having multiple streams of income, right? I think it's important to first understand, and shout out to Derek Falcon, another one of our legendary episodes, that a lot of times people are under the misconception that you need like 5-7 different things. Because they say the average millionaire has anywhere between 5-7 streams of income. So a lot of times people look at that and it becomes like overwhelming because it's like,
how?
We're so trained. The average person is just trained to work a job to get money. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, okay, I got to work 7 jobs or I got to like create 7 totally different businesses. So I got to do like construction, plumbing, real estate. I got to be a stock market investor. I got to do all these different things. It's like, who has enough time, right? But one thing I really liked about what Derek said, and it really resonated with us, is that you don't need multiple avenues to create multiple streams of income. You just need one lane that you do really well, and you can create multiple streams of income off of that one lane.
Yeah, it's like what we said, like we got to build a foundation. If you're thinking in the sense of a tree, the tree is going to be the foundation of what you're going to do, right? So like from that, you're just going to start building branches from it.
Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah. So, we're not even going to give you a case study or theory. We're going to give you the real deal as far as Earn Your Leisure.
Yeah. This is easy. This is ours.
This is just ours. I mean, this is ours platform and blueprint. But, I mean, you know, everybody's blueprint is going to be different. But we could speak best about what we personally know, right? Yeah. So,
And they've been here to see it. So, like, y'all been here watching it. Y'all seen it from January to now. We're just going to give you really in detail, like, how this works.
Yeah, for sure. So, the thing with Earn Your Leisure is that, all right. So, Earn Your Leisure started in January of 2019, mm-hmm. and it was a podcast, right? And it was, you know, we started, the Instagram page was the first thing we did, and we launched Instagram, and we turned into like a daily discussion board, pretty much, of like different financial topics. We post different things on Instagram, and people give their feedback on it, and we do different write-ups, mm-hmm. and it's like a whole, you know, financial board discussion on all different areas of finance, right? So, but that was all done in relationship to build the podcast, right? So we created a podcast, right? We didn't know anything about it. That's another good thing about this too, is that we didn't know. We're not even out of our year yet. We're
still learning.
Yeah.
We just had a phone call and we're like, yo, we're learning still.
Yeah, 11 months and we're still learning. Yeah. So the thing with Earn Your Leisure is that, okay, so it started as just a podcast and we had to figure out how can you monetize a podcast, because there's no blueprint on how to do it.
Yeah.
You just kind of figure out how you go, right? So, but now we have a few different streams from Earn Your Leisure. Like, I think we're going to talk about like 5-6 different streams that we have from Earn Your Leisure, income streams from Earn Your Leisure right now, right? So, all right. So as the podcast grew, the first thing that we started to monetize was audio.
Yeah.
Right? So if you listen to this, you know that, you know, we give Spotify, Anchor, from time to time, other brands, you know, it's part of the episode, right?
Yeah.
So those are ads that we do, and we're not doing it for charity, obviously. we get compensated for that, right?
Yeah.
So how you get compensated in the podcast world is what's called CPM.
Yep.
Right? So CPM is like per 1,000 plays, mm-hmm. what you get. So if you get standard, the good thing with podcasts is that it's usually like standard. It's like $25, $20 to $25
right.
is like usually standard, right? Yeah. Industry standard.
And when the platform we used was Anchor, obviously, if you listen to this, we did it on Anchor, and we didn't have to go find them. They provided us with the ads based on the audience listening. So they saw that there was 1,000 people listening to the first episodes. They sent us one ad. They see there's 4,000 people, then they sent us two ads. So the more people we had engaged and listening, the more ads they sent to us. And you know it. So like you hit, you got to go back and listen to the original ads. Some of the original ones are funny, man.
Man, now the crazy thing is at first, I didn't even want to take the ad because I'm like, when I saw it was $20 CPM per thousand.
Yeah. That's how it works, every thousand.
So when we first started, we was averaging like 2,000 a week or something like that. So I'm like, why are we even doing this for $40? And then I read something like, just do it because it builds up over the course of time.
Perpetuity.
And it does. I can tell you it does. And the crazy thing about it is that now with like Anchor, like it's the dynamic ads, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens is that now every time somebody listens to a podcast, we get paid. Mm-hmm. So you can go back and listen to episode one. And as long as there's an ad in, placed in it, we're gonna get paid for that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool because it's like now as our audience grows, right? Our revenue grows as well.
Right.
So we get paid. So that's one way how we get paid, right? And then so that was the first way how we started to monetize the podcast. And then, you know, from that we figured, okay, now we have an audience, but we always love fashion, and we always, you know, was like, okay, what's the next thing that we should do? And actually to promote the podcast as well.
Yeah.
And we came up with a couple of different slogans. But the slogan that really stuck and became our signature was assets over liability.
Yeah, I remember sitting down, we wrote down, like you said, let's come up with 10, I'm gonna come up with 10. And we put them out and it was like, all right, well, let's use these three. And we had three. So if you had the day one people, you know, when you went to the site, there was a bunch of different shirts. And as we moved on, we realized like, that's not really gonna move. We stuck with three. And
yeah.
The most popular is
assets over liabilities. And that just became our trademark.
Yeah.
We tried a couple of different things, but that became our trademark. And so the thing about merch, everybody sells merch. It's popular. It's like the first thing you want to do, right?
Yeah.
But merch can be a kind of a tricky thing. So what we use is Printful.
Yeah.
Right. So Printful is a company that allows you to not hold any inventory.
Yeah, it's on demand. So like you order it. They make it. It's pretty much like what we said in the last segment. They make it, they distribute it. And all we do is create the file, which is the assets over liabilities, which is ours. They print it up and they send it out to you.
Yeah, so it's an interesting business model. It's pros and cons with everything because they take a percentage, a pretty hefty percentage.
Pretty
actually.
Hefty one, yeah. We're working on that.
So, I mean, we probably could make a lot more money if we just did it ourselves. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is a lot more work.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more capital. It doesn't cost us anything. Right. That's the good thing about Printful is that it doesn't cost anything.
Right. We don't have to buy sweatshirts. We don't have to buy t-shirts.
It's like $100 a month, I think, just to actually run the site.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's no money. There's no overhead. So as somebody buys the shirt, they print it. They ship it. It's a whole
system. It's really easy. Like literally, like we created our own store on Shopify. It goes on Printful. And we put our designs up there, and people just, when they order, I remember we got our first order, I was like, oh, wow, this is great. And then
it's a dope system.
We don't have to store anything.
That's another thing, too, especially when it comes to business. A lot of times it's like, and this is, there's not really no right or wrong answer on this, but especially if you're doing a lot of different things, sometimes it's better to take less money to free your time up,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's like, like I said, we could do it ourselves, but that's a lot more time. Like we actually have to find somebody to actually make it for us.
Print and press and all
that. We have to hold a bundle of different merch. We have to ship it. We have to track it. We have to, you know, do all of those things. It's not, and especially as more people start to order shirts, it's
been too much.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
So with Printful, they kind of do all of that for us. Like I said, they take their percentage for doing all of that stuff, but we still get compensated.
Yeah.
So that was another revenue. That was like the second revenue stream that we did, right?
I think, and then the next one was our private pay program. And that was kind of just happened in a comment. Somebody was like, hey, are you guys on Patreon? And at the time, I remember I text you. I'm like, yo, what is Patreon? And then we did the resource show, and it was like, oh, this could be a way that we could give bonus content. We can put out different variety of things and features for our audience. And so like that became another source of income. So we created five different tiers.
Yeah, Patreon is a whole vibe. And you actually, you told me about Patreon. I didn't even know what Patreon was. Somebody commented. He was like, yo, what you do with Patreon? I'm like, what is Patreon? And Patreon is a platform for creatives, for people to support on a financial level, right? Yeah. And the cool thing with Patreon is that it's a real community where like Patreon, you can add different tiers to it.
Yeah.
So like we have different tiers to our Patreon, and like depending on what tier you're in, like you get ad-free episodes, you get episodes before the podcast mm-hmm. drops. You get FaceTime yeah. conversations with us.
Yeah, those always fun.
Yeah, the FaceTime conversations is lit. So you get direct conversations with us. Yeah. You get discounts on the merch.
Yep.
You get access to EYL University.
Yeah, that's new. So like that was one of the things. And we sent a message out. It was like, yo, we got something coming. And we were building it. So like now it's like, now they get to see what we have building. Everybody that's in a tier 4 or 5, they get to have access to EYL University. So that makes it even dope.
Like, yeah, and this is the whole, 'cause the whole thing with the business show is that you want to just create different ideas, because you might not be able to copy every single thing, but you want to just spark your brain. So for me, I'm always big on cross promoting, right? So I'm like, okay, look, if we got Patreon, right, and you also have to add value, like all these different revenue. I want to stress that too. Never do anything just to make money,
right?
You gotta have like real value. Like the merch is something that we truly believe in. Like we really believe in the merch, and I think the reason why assets and over liabilities has taken off, because it's a dope slogan and it's really powerful. Yeah. And like three words, it really means a lot. Like it's assets over liabilities. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
that's the goal.
If you're gonna spend money to wear merch, like you might as well wear something that you like and it's stylish. That.
Yeah, that's
and
like
it's dope. Like
our thing. It was like, yo, if we're gonna create something that people are gonna wear, it should have a message on it, and it should be a message that resonates with our community and all communities, really.
Yeah,
so like that's what the intent was when we did the merch. It wasn't like let's make money. We're not a clothing brand, but we want to have a message every time we go outside. Yeah, we know people are watching.
Exactly, and also with the Patreon too, it's like, we don't want to just set up Patreon as a way for people just to support the podcast. That's like charity and event. Yeah. We want to actually give them value as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that's why we had the phone conversations. That's why we added free access to EYL University. That's why we access discounts on the merch. But now with the Patreon, you get discount on the merch, but it leads back to the merch.
Right.
Which is like cross promoting, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and everything always leads back to the podcast.
Yeah.
The podcast is the mothership, which is free, but that's the cool thing about it too, where the podcast is free, but from something that is free, we're able to create multiple different income streams where we can actually profit. So that's another thing too. A lot of times people think like, just because you're not actually getting paid for something right away, or something doesn't look like you can actually make money from it, you gotta look deeper. It's not just like,
that's a fact.
Hey, you gotta go A, B, C, D, E, F. Like, you know what I mean? Like to say, okay, the podcast is really just to get us out there, as far as on our revenue. Of course, the podcast is to educate. That's the most important. But as far as our revenue stream, we can monetize the podcast, even though people don't pay for the podcast because of ads. But even if we had no ads at all, we could still monetize off of the podcast because of the visibility, and it allows us to do other things.
Yeah, and it's not like we had to create 7 different things. We still have the mothership, the tree, which is the podcast, and all these branches coming off of it. And that's true what you said. We didn't do it for money, right? So like when we had Patreon, we had like 2 members the first month, right? Next month we had 7. Like we just kept grinding, like kept putting out the content, kept putting out value, making those phone calls. Now we're up to like over 115 or something like that. And it was like just being consistent and spreading the word and giving the value. Like I think that was Max, right? He was like, yo, just give it away.
Give it away.
Just give it away.
You gotta give it away. Give it away, and then people they want to pay for it. They feel guilty not to. And that's why, like I said, Proud to Pay with Nipsey, when he had his $100 mixtape.
Yep.
It wasn't so much as just him selling a mixtape for $100. It was a whole experience. You got tickets to a concert.
Yep.
You got merch. It was bundled together, and it was very well done, and people were proud to, because people want to support, but they just got to have something good that they can support.
Yeah, exactly.
Like nobody wants to support something that's just trash.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And then so then the next revenue stream comes via YouTube.
Yeah.
So YouTube is something that we're still figuring out. But I encourage any creative, anybody that's thinking about starting anything, you got to get on YouTube. People don't fully understand the power of YouTube. We spoke about this before, but.
And that's just the thing. And we'll just be fully transparent. We didn't start on YouTube.
Like, nah, the first like 7 episodes.
Yeah, 3 months.
Wasn't on YouTube. People had to really convince us to get on YouTube.
Like, why y'all not there?
The first 7 episodes was just audio, because it's like, it's a lot more work.
Yeah.
You got to film it, and you got to upload it. You got to edit it. It's a whole process. But YouTube is interesting, because it's like YouTube also, the monetization for YouTube is you have to have 1,000 watch hours.
Yeah, so 1,000 watch hours and 4,000 subscribers before you can monetize.
So watch hours is like how many hours somebody has watched your video.
Mm-hmm.
So you need 1,000 watch hours and you need 4,000 subscribers. And then you can start to monetize through YouTube Studio. And YouTube is another thing where it's like, you know, the first YouTube check that you'll see is like, let's say, like for us, it was like $100.
We watched that. I mean, we watched that for like $100 a month. It was like $1 a day.
Yeah. And then it's like 6 months later, we was up to like 4,000 on YouTube. So God willing, this time next year, it will be four times that. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? But the good thing with YouTube is like, once again, like the audio. Once a video is in YouTube, especially if it's like, gets a lot of traction, it's there forever.
Yep.
So I was just telling like Alex Good Energy from Trucking, episode 39.
Yeah, shout out to Alex.
I'm like, yo, your video's going to live forever because it has like 59,000 views right now or whatever. But a year from now, somebody types in trucking.
They're going to find that.
They'll find that video, yeah. Right? And then they watch it and then we get paid. And the cool thing, and this is, I spoke about this on a social media episode that we did, is that a lot of times people with, especially with like YouTube and things of that nature, numbers are not the most important thing.
Mm.
Numbers are not the most important thing. What I mean by that is that like our 40,000 subscribers that we have right now is probably more valuable than a lot of people that have 1 million, 2 million subscribers.
Yeah.
Because our content, we get paid at a higher CPM.
Yeah.
What that means is that like our content is clean content, it's business.
And that's important.
So companies, they love that to advertise, yeah. Right? It's like the business is like the number one space for advertisers. So I was speaking to somebody who has a YouTube channel, but it's a rap show and they bring rappers on, stuff like that, you know. So he was telling me his CPM for his show is like $3,
right.
$4. But he has like million subscribers. His videos get like 200,000 views, right? But he's not really making money because it's like $3 where... We might get 10,000, 20,000 views per episode. We have 40,000 subscribers, which is way less than what he has, right?
Right.
But we're making more money because our CPMs could be $30, yeah. $25.
Yeah, and that's another thing that's beautiful about YouTube is that the CPM fluctuates. So like depending on the content, like a video like mobile homes, you could get maybe $45 per CPM, which is per thousand. Or like Alex, right? You could be $47, whereas in the audio space, it's just
pretty standard
at $25. So like that's another beautiful thing about YouTube is like it changes and depending on the content. And that's key what you said too, is having clean content. Because if we had profanity laced conversations, right, people wouldn't be putting money out to put on ads. And I think we ran into that one time where we had an episode
with Al Harrington.
We were talking about marijuana, which was a business podcast and it was a business lesson, but just the fact that we had marijuana in our title, it kind of changed.
We didn't get paid for that episode.
We didn't get paid, right.
That's something too for a lot of creators. Like I said, all of this stuff is just free information, free knowledge, because these are things that we learned. We literally learned all this stuff on the fly.
Right.
So, you know, if you're starting a YouTube channel, if you're thinking about monetizing online, these are good things to know because we didn't notice. Like we didn't know that we put cannabis or marijuana in the title.
Mm-hmm.
That's a red flag for YouTube. The video went out. People saw it, but we didn't get paid on
it. Yeah, we got that little yellow sticker.
They're very big on that. They're very big on that industry. They've shut down pages.
Yeah.
They shut down some big cannabis pages.
We ran into somebody.
600,000 subscribers, 1 million subscribers. They shut their pages down.
Yeah.
So it's important to understand what you're doing. Because like you could just be doing something and not fully understand what you're doing.
Yeah, not grasping
it. And it's like you built up 1 million, 2 million followers, subscribers, but now it's hard for you to monetize it. Where you see somebody with 100,000, I said this on social media, I know a girl who had 100,000, 150,000 subscribers on Instagram that was getting paid $15,000 for an Instagram post,
mm-hmm.
where we know a lot of Instagram models, bartenders, that have millions of followers that can't figure out how to make money because the only people that's going to advertise on their page is lingerie and just promoting parties.
Spirits industry.
They're limited.
Yeah.
Right? But even like a John Henry. John Henry doesn't have that many followers. He has like 120,000 followers.
Killing.
He's making a killing.
Killing.
He's making a killing because it's
clean.
He got a clean look. It's, you know what I mean? It's just it's the whole package. He's very friendly to advertisers.
Yeah,
so not to say that you have to be that. I mean, you could still make money.
But
and
just
not
know.
But just know that. Yeah. Just be aware of it. Like, yeah. I'm not telling you to change your whole platform and to become something that you're not.
Right.
But just be aware of it.
Yeah, you should be aware because that will be the reason why the monetization is a lot less.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just know. It's good to know that.
No, that's a fact. And then we also do live events now too.
Yeah, man.
So the live,
those are crazy.
The live events is another way how we're monetizing. But the thing, like I said, the thing about it is that we're always adding value, right? So this is a business podcast. We're never going to apologize for making money. That's the whole point. Like, we should never be ashamed to be entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. But as long as you're creating value, that's the most important thing, right? So just from that, that's five different revenue streams mm-hmm. that we named off of the podcast, right? So now we don't have to get five different jobs. We don't have to create five different businesses, even though they are kind of separate of each other, but they're all under the mothership of Earn Your Leisure.
They're all Earn Your Leisure.
And they all hover under the podcast. The podcast is what leads everything, right? We know that. Yep. And that's important too. Never go away from what feeds you.
Yeah.
A lot of times people get successful in one thing and then they stop paying attention to that.
Yeah.
Like, the podcast is always going to be high quality. We're always going to do our best with the podcast because we understand, like, the podcast is what got us to this point.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't stay limited to the podcast. Like, if we did that, we'd be doing ourselves and our supporters a disservice because that's not what we preach. Like, we preach to have no limit, to expand your horizon. So if we just stayed just doing a podcast, we wouldn't be a good example.
It'd be tough.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to set an example. Yeah. It's like, it's more than just like, we're just not getting up here just talking about it. We actually are implementing a real business.
Yeah, and we got a few more. Like, we have a few more, even like in the summer when we do our summer programming. That's another stream of income for us. We have a couple things that we're going to announce in the top of 2020 that we're just continuing to build off of the mothership, all Earn Your Leisure, but all things that help people. So yeah, man, we got to keep creating. And don't be surprised if you see like us doing trucking. Like,
we're going to get a truck.
Like, we getting all this information. Yeah. So every time we hear something and we learn, it's like, yo, we should do that.
Nah, it's a fact. You know, we haven't talked about our book. We gotta get back to writing that book. Yeah. But the book, that's another thing that we're looking to launch. And we got the blueprint of the book from Ash Cash's episode,
right?
Episode 26. So it's like, a lot of times, like, when you listen to Earn Your Leisure, don't just listen and just be entertained.
The application,
man. It's application. And like I said, like, we're living proof. Like, we're literally applying things that we are learning.
You know what, like, the best part is? Like, not once did you say, like, I'm a financial advisor too. Like, people forget that part. Like, yeah, so like, yeah, that you're a financial advisor, I'm a teacher, but these things that we're doing, like, outside of that, that's like nine different streams right there.
Yeah, you need to have like 10 different joints going, because you never know.
Yeah.
You never know when something can dry up. Like, you know what I'm saying? When something can dry up. So it's like, I learned that early on just from watching people that I grew up with, older people, and it's like, you get laid off from your job and you're screwed.
Yeah.
You got a bad month from your job and it's like, You damn near on the homeless line. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? So now it's like, we're having multiple streams, it gives you a cushion, it gives you a buffer, and it's like, all right, well,
you can feel it. You can feel the freedom.
You feel less pressure too.
Yeah, you can feel the freedom of it. It's like, you know what? I'm not relying on anything. I have so many things that if this doesn't work, I got this. You can feel the freedom. Like, I can feel it personally. It's like, yo, this is crazy. This is different. Like, this feel like 2019 doesn't feel like 2018. Right. It just feels different.
It does. And so that's our journey.
Yeah.
And not to say that you have to start a podcast, but it's like, that's something that fit in what we were doing.
Yeah.
So it's like, what fits in what you're doing?
Yeah. And on Earn Your Leisure University, I broke down how you can earn income in education. Because a lot of times I have conversations with people in my profession. They're like, yo, how do you have time? How do you have time? And I went through like five or six different things, streams of income, just from being an educator. Like, it is things that you probably are overthinking that you can do. That don't require much time.
Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah, that was that. And like I said, that was kind of the abbreviated version. The full version is on Earn Your Leisure University, where we kind of just dove into a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to just let people know that it's always something more. No matter what you're doing, it's always something more. And when you're looking to start a business, see if that business is scalable. Like, the podcast is scalable because it's very low inventory. That's another thing too. It's very low inventory. It can reach people from New York to Australia.
Yeah.
We're not limited geographically. And it provides us opportunities to create multiple different launching pads.
That was the first question Derek Falcon asked me. He walked in when we did his interview. The first thing, he sat down on my couch and was like, yo, how y'all gonna scale this? First thing he asked. I'm like, good question. And we went into a whole conversation.
And we come up with new ideas all the time, how we can scale. So like I said, that's our blueprint. But what's your blueprint, right? Like, if you are a restaurant owner, how do you scale that? How do you create multiple different streams? Derek Falcon gave the blueprint for that.
Right.
But it's like, if you have a gym, how do you create multiple different streams off that gym?
Right.
Like, even Alex, right? He has a trucking, but he makes more money off of his portal And now he has merch.
Yeah, shout out to Good Energy merch.
So
it's a fact.
So yeah, so that's the rundown. Multiple streams of income, people. It's not something that is optional at this point in time. It's mandatory.
Yeah.
And it's all about being creative and understanding how you can build different branches off of one tree.
Yeah, that's a fact.
So we're gonna close it out with some education as far as investing and different things of that nature.
It's gonna be fun.
All right.
It's fun. I said it's fun.
Yeah, so we're gonna close it out. We're gonna close it out with something that is easy for me.
Yeah,
because like I said, a lot of time people don't fully understand. Like everybody thinks do the podcast full time, but
straight up,
I actually have a financial planning firm.
Yeah,
independent firm.
Who was your first client?
You were.
Yeah, thank you.
For sure. wealth management firm. So that's what I do. Like outside of this.
Yeah.
So
that's why you don't sleep, yo.
Yeah, it's a fact. retirement planning, investing, things of that nature. So one thing that always gets people's attention when we talk about is the self-directed IRA.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about that because, you know, we talk about real estate a lot on this show.
Yeah.
And we bring on different real estate investors and things of that nature. And we always, you know, have to give people different options. So funding, when it comes to funding, that stops a lot of people from investing in real estate. So we, you know, talk about 203K loans and hard money loans and conventional loans and things of that nature.
Yep.
But another way that people can invest in real estate that not a lot of people are fully familiar with is via their retirement account. Yeah. Right? Because if you think about it, I spoke about this before, most for the average American, middle class American, lower middle class, whatever, they don't have a tremendous amount of money saved in a savings account. They don't have a money. They might probably have no investment outside of like retirement. Like they don't have.
I mean, I know people straight up that don't know what an IRA is.
Well, yeah, that. But I'm just saying, as far as the money that they have saved is in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not uncommon for a teacher to have $500,000 in their pension plan or their 403B plan by the time they retire. Or it's not uncommon for somebody to work in corporate America for 20 years and to have $400,000 or even like $100,000 in a couple of years. Like it adds up. The good thing with 401ks is that the money is taken right out of your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy. Everybody knows about it. Like when you sign up for a job, they sign you up for it. And then you work, like I said, with a union job, you have a pension. People have money in retirement accounts, long story short.
Yeah.
And that's the one place where a lot of people, that's like their only source of like real savings.
Yeah, if you
savings.
Ask somebody if they're saving, they're like, yeah, I have a 401k.
Yeah. So what happens is that a lot of times what happens I see all the time is that people, like they might leave their job or whatever, and they want to buy a home, and they have an old retirement account, like an old 401k. And what they do is that they cash it out because that's their only real money.
Mm-hmm.
They cash out their 401k and they use that for a down payment or they use that to buy a home. The problem with that is that now not only do you deplete your retirement account, but you get taxed crazy. Like if you take money out of a retirement account before 59 and a half, for most retirement accounts, you pay a 10% penalty, you pay state tax and you pay federal tax. So you could be paying up to 50-55% of the money in taxes, right? So that's a lot of money that's you're liable
we,
for.
We had a tax issue in this house, man.
Yeah, so it's important to understand that. So a lot of times people don't fully understand that you can actually use retirement money to actually purchase property, right? So how you do that is via what's called a self-directed IRA.
So before we go there, right, because this is important, what's the difference between an IRA and a self-directed IRA?
So, all right, an IRA is what it stands for, is an individual retirement account.
Right.
I think we spoke about this in another episode one time, but so IRA can be set up two different ways. You can set an IRA up just with money out of your pocket, and like you can fund it every year. Like if you are self-employed or if your job doesn't have a 401k or if you make under a certain amount of money, you can just put money into an IRA every year, right? Like you put like $6,000 to an IRA.
There's a max on it?
Yeah, for the year.
Okay.
But now what's very popular is what's called the IRA rollover.
Okay.
So when you, what happens is that now you leave your job, right? And now you have an old 401k, an old pension plan, an old 403b, whatever, TDA, whatever. And you can roll that into an IRA, right? So the reason why it's called a rollover is that it's going from one what's called tax-qualified vehicle to another tax-qualified vehicle. You're not paying any taxes on it. It's for your retirement.
Right.
Only difference is that the 401k is set up by your job. The IRA is set up individually.
Okay.
You can set up, you know, with a bank or through a financial advisor or, you know, online. There's different ways to set it up, right? So most of the time, when people do IRA rollovers, they're rolling into what's called the traditional IRA.
Okay.
Traditional IRA is invested in more traditional investments.
Like stocks?
Stocks, mutual funds, things of that nature.
Okay.
Right? So it's invested like in the stock market, bonds, things of that nature, and it grows over the course of time. So if, let's say you had a job, you worked at AT&T for 15 years, you have $100,000 in a 401k. You left. So now when you leave your job, the 401k is pretty much frozen in a sense. Not frozen where it's not growing. It's still growing relative to how many investments do. But you can't borrow from it, right? Mm-hmm. You can't add money to it. You don't have any advice on it. You're not working there anymore. And mm-hmm. a lot of times people move and they don't update their address. So it becomes difficult to manage if you're not working there anymore. Mm-hmm. So this is why the rollover is so appealing, because now you get to pick and choose your investments. You can add money to the IRA if you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can work with somebody that can help you out, like an advisor, things of that nature.
Right.
So that's what the IRA, you're just taking control over the money. So now you have it in the IRA. All right. So now, as it's in the IRA, it can be invested in, like, let's say it's invested in mutual funds, right? Or an annuity or whatever.
Those are just the regular IRA.
Traditional.
Okay.
So the money's invested. You're not paying any taxes on it as long as it stays in. And it's just like how it would be with your 401k, except you're kind of picking and choosing investments for yourself.
Okay.
So that's the easy.
So like, if I'm not picking it, then it would be a financial advisor or like a custodian?
Most of the time, it's through like somebody that'll help you out with it.
Okay.
So whether that be a financial advisor, whether that be somebody at a bank, credit union, or you know, usually you could do it yourself too. If you go online, like you can Fidelity, but a lot of time people just don't feel comfortable doing things themselves. They might want help,
mm-hmm.
so somebody will help you out with it,
gotcha.
And they'll kind of guide you on like what makes sense. This is a good investment, and this is the reason why, things of that nature. So that's what most people do. Like probably like 95% of the people, they roll their money into a traditional IRA.
Mm-hmm.
But another option that you have is that you can roll it into what's called a self-directed IRA. So traditional IRAs allows you to invest in traditional investments. Like I just said, the self-directed IRA allows you to invest in a broad range of different things.
Yeah.
Everything from Bitcoin to commodities.
It's a bunch of possibilities.
All kinds of different stuff. And one of the things.
I saw somebody said like you can invest in a horse holding firm. Like,
yeah, you can invest in all kinds of different things with a self-directed IRA. And one of the most popular things that people use self-directed IRAs for is real estate.
Mm.
So a self-directed IRA allows you to invest money in real estate, right? So what happens is that now you have $100,000, and instead of like if you don't roll it into a traditional IRA, you can roll it into a self-directed IRA.
Mm-hmm.
Now that self-directed IRA, you can buy a home or you can buy an apartment or whatever, or use that money to buy different forms of real estate. And the money's not taxed, because the whole point of keeping it within the IRA is that you're avoiding paying tax.
Tax when you take it out, or
tax when you take it out. When you take receipt of it, we call taking receipt of the money, right?
Yeah.
So like when you take receipt of it, that's when the money goes to your bank account. Like when you physically receive it, as long as it's under the umbrella of the IRA, you never actually you don't have receipt of it. So you're not paying any taxes on it. That's the benefit of rolling a 401k into an IRA and keeping it in the IRA.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're not paying any taxes. Whenever you take money out, you're going to get taxed. If you take it out prematurely, you get a 10% penalty tax. But at any point in time, you take money out of an IRA or 401k, you pay a state and federal tax. The federal tax is what federal tax bracket you're in at that time,
mm-hmm.
and the state tax is depending on what state you're in.
Gotcha.
And it's treated like ordinary income.
And you can borrow that at any time, but just know that there's going to be a penalty.
Borrow what?
You can borrow money from the IRA?
You can't borrow money from the IRA. You can take money once a year from the IRA, but it's a 60-day rule where you got to put the money back in.
Ooh, okay, good to know.
So what happens is that with the self-directed IRA, right, now you can use, that money stays in the IRA, but you can buy real estate.
Okay.
So like let's say you used $100,000 and you bought a home. You used all of it to buy a home for $100,000 in cash, right?
Yeah.
So now that $100,000 is pretty much like your retirement. So the $100,000 grows to $200,000 over the course of time. You're not paying any taxes as it's growing, mm-hmm. right? So you sell that home. Now you made $100,000 profit, right? Now you put that back into the self-directed IRA. Now it's not taxable. Now you have $200,000. Now you can buy more real estate, or you can invest something else, right?
Okay.
So it's another way to invest in real estate with your retirement account, as opposed to investing. With like a lot of times people think that they have to cash out their retirement to invest in real estate, because most IRAs will not allow you to invest in real estate except for a self-directed IRA.
All right, so what's the process of setting up an IRA? Because it's you're doing it yourself, I'm assuming, right? Self-directed.
Self-directed IRA, yeah. So the process to set up, all right, the process to set up an IRA, period. This is the process to set up an IRA. You do an application for the IRA company, right? So now that sets up your IRA account. So like, let's say you set up an IRA with Franklin Templeton, right? You're doing a application with Franklin Templeton, and you're setting up an IRA, right? Mm-hmm. Now you have an IRA number. Let's say it's 13570. That's your IRA number. You have an account, all of that stuff set up, but it's not funded yet.
Okay.
So what happens is that now you have to do a conference call with the 401k company. That's usually the easiest way. You do a conference call, and usually like you do it with your advisor if you're working with an advisor. And like most companies nowadays, like Fidelity, they'll do it over the phone where they can initiate the transfer over the phone. So you say, okay, I have an IRA. I want to roll my old 401k into an IRA. And they ask you like, who's the check made out to? You'll say like Franklin for John Doe, Franklin Templeton for the benefit of John Doe, right? And they say like, what's the address? A lot of times they'll send it directly to your house, or sometimes they'll send it to the company. But they'll cut the check, they'll do it over the phone, they'll cut the check. And then you deposit that into your IRA account. Now your IRA is funded, right? Sometimes some companies have paperwork where they have like their own paperwork, and you fill out the paperwork, you send it back to the company, and then they send the check. So it depends. Either they do it with a phone or they do paperwork. But that's how you set the IRA up. It's very simple to set the IRA up. It's a two-part process. You have an application, and then you contact the company, and you tell the company where to send the money to, pretty much. That's how you set the IRA up. So when the self-directed IRA is the same process, it's just that there's less companies. There's like mostly trust companies that do this. So like with an IRA, there's a bunch of hundreds, probably 1,000 companies that you can do IRA with. It's very, very common, traditional IRA. Everything from insurance companies to investment companies to banks, credit unions. You can set up an IRA with pretty much any financial institution. You can set a traditional IRA up with, right? But there's a limited amount of companies that do self-directed IRAs.
Why is that?
Well, it's just less. You know, I guess it might be, I'm not really sure, but it probably, I'm sure, is more involved.
When I'm listening to it, it sounds like this is like one of them things, like this is strictly for live men. Like, this is not something that the average person...
We're gonna get to that. Okay. We're gonna get to that, the pros and cons, because there's cons like everything in life. But like just a few companies, and I'm not endorsing any companies because I don't set up self-directed IRAs for people. Right. But just to kind of give you, like, if you Google self-directed IRAs, there's a lot of companies that'll come up.
Yeah.
So like Equity Trust, Gold Star Trust, Intrust Group, those are different companies. But like I said, you could just Google and do your own research. Yeah. Not to give those companies like any endorsement,
some
but
example. That's just they ain't cut a check.
That's just that's just a couple of companies' names.
When would be a good time to consider doing a self-directed?
So before we even get to that, how you set up the self-directed IRA is that you go online, right? Or you contact them and you set it up with them, and they'll walk you through the process of like who the check needs to be made out to. They'll give you an account number and all of that. So it's the same thing I just explained, but you have to do it yourself.
Okay.
As opposed to like a lot of times with the IRA, you have help because an advisor will help you out.
Somebody sitting there with you.
Yeah, most of the time. But in this process, you're going to have to like kind of navigate this yourself. So, of course, you want to be properly educated.
Yeah, man.
You want to do your research. But the thing with the show is just to provide information. It's not to say to do one thing or another, but it's just to provide information. So there's some drawbacks with with self-directed IRA, because the thing with the self-directed IRA, like if you have a regular IRA, right? Now, the money's invested in the stock market. You don't really have to do anything. Like, I mean, you can just monitor it and make sure you're in a good fund or a good investment, but it's not going to cost you, like, money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you buy a real estate property, if you buy a home, right? Now, you buy that home for $100,000, but it's not like you just let that go, because now the boiler might break, right? So now you got to pay money to fix the boiler.
Right.
Or the house might need to be painted. Now you got to pay money to fix. There's upkeep in a house. No matter what, there's still upkeep. You got to cut the grass. There's always going to be something. So it's going to cost you money.
Exactly.
It's important for people to understand that.
Yeah.
It's buying a house is going to cost you money.
Tell me
Without any, like, there's no way around it.
Yeah.
So when you have your retirement account tied into that, a lot of times people, you know, you're not investing your 401k into an IRA, a regular IRA, with the expectation that you're gonna have to pay $5,000 a year just to keep up that IRA.
Mm-hmm.
There's fees involved with an IRA, but that's taken out of the amount. It's not like you're coming out of your pocket. Mm-hmm. With a house is different, right?
Yeah.
Also, a lot of times people buy homes And the especially with investment properties, they're doing that to actually have income. So they buy a home and they want to have income come from that, right? To like support their lifestyle.
Yeah.
But any money that you generate from the self-directed IRA property has to go back into the self-directed IRA. If it doesn't, then you get taxed on it.
Mm.
So that's also important for people to understand. It's more of a long-term play.
Yeah.
So like I said.
So that's not include like obviously your primary residence, I'm assuming.
Primary residence what?
When you're investing in real estate, or could it be?
Nah, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be your primary residence. Okay. It could be a rental. It could be a primary. It could be different things. But it's just like all things in life, you want to put together a game plan.
Right.
You want to put together a game plan. You want to be fully knowledgeable. But like I said, the whole point of the podcast is just to give information.
Yeah, I'm learning right now.
and then from the information, then you can decipher and say, okay, this makes sense. But a lot of times we're forced into doing things because we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So for most people, the self-directed IRA probably wouldn't be the best fit because there's more work involved. Everything that I just named. But in some cases, it could potentially make sense. So just wanted to let people, I spoke about that in a few different settings.
Yeah.
Like live settings, and it always gets a good reaction. So I wanted to cover that in a podcast, and I knew that, you know, today obviously that we didn't have a guest. I thought it would be a good time to actually cover that topic since we talk about real estate so much.
Shout out! I want to thank you for coming, man. This was this has been a learning experience. Like just when you think you know somebody,
that's a fact. Follow me on the gram.